The next time you're sitting in your car and you're complaining about traffic, remember, you are traffic. And according to a new study from State, the traffic congestion in the Puget Sound region is getting worse. Getting from Everett to Seattle now takes 51 minutes. Mark Kallenbeck is director of the Washington State Transportation Center at the University of Washington. He told me why traffic is getting worse and what we can do about it.
The major reason is we've reached tipping points on many of the metropolitan freeways and increasingly on the number of arterials. So what happens when you reach this tipping point? Think of it as the straw that breaks the camel's back. You don't have much of an increase at all of congestion as you add volume until you get to this point. And once you break it, then you get a bunch of congestion. And then as you add even just a little more volume, that roadway breaks down earlier. So the congestion gets bigger and it lasts longer, and therefore the increase is greater than the volume that comes in.
We talk a lot about the growth in Seattle, but there's big growth in the suburbs too. How is that affecting traffic congestion?
Well, the growth that happens in Seattle isn't usually driving cars right now. Many of the people who are moving into Seattle are moving there specifically so that they cannot own a car. They're walking, they're biking, they're taking transit because there are lots of better options. The people who move to the suburbs, particularly the farther out suburbs, those neighborhoods tend to be designed specifically for the car, and the other modes don't have good options. So those people drive more. So the growth that occurs in the far suburbs tends to be car-oriented, and the volumes go up with that population. In Seattle, the population goes up and the volumes don't change very much. The problem in congestion is when those suburban people try to drive into the city or through the city, now you're adding that little bit extra volume to the roadway that causes that big increase in congestion.
What role will mass transit play in the future to try to alleviate our traffic problems?
So mass transit will be huge in the denser portions of the urban area and to increase the number of people the freeways can serve. So in an area where you have density, you have to have space-efficient transportation modes. And that means walking. You don't take up very much space while you're walking around. And it means buses because you can pack 70 people onto a bus. So from the amount of space you take up, those modes are really, really, really important in dense urban areas. In the far suburbs, they play a much smaller role. Transit plays a much smaller role because you don't have the ability to fill up those buses efficiently. And walking doesn't play as big a role because the distances are too far for people to want to walk very much. And therefore, in those areas, it's mostly about, do you have a good complete road system? Do you have a grid? Do you have alternatives? If one road has a problem, you have an alternative way to go through. In Seattle, in Bellevue, in downtown Kirkland, those areas are going to be served by transit and by walking, and they will be crucial.
You know, a lot of people listening might think, oh, I know everything I need to know about traffic. I'm stuck in it every day. But what do people misunderstand, or what do they get wrong about our traffic congestion? What are some of the assumptions we have that maybe are not borne out by the facts?
Well, there's big marketing that says, if you have information, I will magically find my way through. Mm-hmm. And in rush hour, I mean, it's when they roll the fish truck on 99, there are no alternatives, right? So one of the things we don't get is in the peak period, there aren't many alternatives. And that's why mass transit in the peaks is really, really important. There's no magic solution. And there's a misunderstanding in some people's minds about the possibility, the cost of actually increasing the size of I-5 through downtown. That's such a crazy number to widen the Ship Canal Bridge, to take down buildings, or to build a fourth level of tunnel underneath it. That's not going to happen. There's just not that kind of money.
I think I remember talking to you one time, and you said we could make 12 lanes north and south on I-5, and they would fill up. It would you could expand it, but it's not going to solve anything.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And think of the cost of making 12 lanes on I-5. It's crazy. When they built I-5 originally, they took out 40,000 people's homes. And that was before there were massive apartment blocks on all sides. The disruption is crazy.
Mark, a lot of us have experienced gridlock when it seems like vehicles aren't moving in any direction. What are the solutions?
The solution to gridlock is to avoid doing gridlock, right? So you have to keep people from moving into the intersection. And the way you do that, usually you stand a cop on the corner and you write them a $140 ticket for not for doing stupid things. And pretty soon when you expect that, then people don't lock up. And when they don't lock it up, then the signal system can work better. So the problem with gridlock is one movement literally blocks up the intersection and the other movement can't work. And because it can't work, then all that green time, the light's green, but no one is moving. So that doesn't help anybody.
Are you suggesting we're too lax in our enforcement? They should be out there running more $140 tickets when people are blocking the block?
In South Lake Union, that's absolutely what I'm suggesting.
Okay.
Absolutely. It's funny. We were known for jaywalking tickets, right? Grumble, grumble, how many tickets? Now, the reason you write jaywalking tickets is because you're literally trying to make room for cars to turn. And so what you're saying is pedestrians use this right now, but when it's not your turn, stay there. Because you stand on the side, and it's not because we hate pedestrians, it's because it's the car's turn. And so you have to be fair. If you're fair, then the system works pretty well as it can. If you're not fair, then the system doesn't have a chance to work. It's not technology. We are screwing each other up in my selfishness. If it's all about me, the world doesn't work. I save here and I lose for the next 18 blocks.
The tragedy of the commons.
It's the tragedy of the commons. And boy, gridlock is the ultimate. I win. When everybody does that, nobody wins. So you have to be nice to each other.
You have to be nice to each other, says Mark Hallenbeck, director of the Washington State Transportation Center at the University of Washington.